Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being able to share of your words, the words of life, the bread of heaven. We do not take it as something light to minister through you, O Lord, and we take heavily that which you teach us through your word, because it is weighty in our sights. And so as to do justice to your word, we pray, Lord, for your anointing this morning, your anointing that breaks every yoke, your anointing that enables me to minister according to what you will this morning. Lord, I pray that you will give us ears that hear, hearts that are willing to do. I pray, Lord, that you will have your way, that while we all increase, that you will while we'll all decrease, that you will increase. You said that if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. Jesus, please help us as we lift you up this morning, that you will draw us to your hearts, you will draw men to yourself. Lord, your words are life. They are powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that your word, Father, will go deep into our hearts this morning and make there to be a change in our lives. Your word is alive. It is quick. Lord, if there's any deadness anywhere, it's in ourselves. And we pray that your word will bring us alive this morning, O Lord. That which no man could do in speaking to the heart, I pray, my Lord, that you will do it this morning. That all glory and honor will remain yours, O Lord, and your blessings will be ours in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I give thanks unto you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. This morning we'll be dealing with some anatomy of our bodies, and there are different parts of the human body that the Bible uses as analogies. The Bible uses the analogy of our belly to be the analogy of appetites, uses the analogy of our hearts to be the analogy of what goes on in us, analogy of our hands as our walk, the work we do, analogies of our feet as our walk on earth. How we comport our lives. There are many analogies that the Bible uses, but one analogy which I'd like to explore today is the analogy of the heart, the human heart. In the natural hearts, for those science students, how many chambers are in the natural heart? There are four chambers. And Sister Folake, you said four chambers. How many valves are in each chamber? But what I'm talking about is not the natural heart today. What I want to talk about is the heart of man, which speaks of the human condition. The heart of man, which speaks of that within us that allows us to know ourselves. That tool within man which God uses to reflect ourselves to ourselves so that we are able to know and see who we are. The heart of man is a very, very complex issue, because as I studied the Word of God, I found more and more that there are certain things that God wants us to know about our hearts, that because of the complexity of the hearts, it takes God himself to do some working within our hearts for us to know who we are. And one of the reasons is that the human heart is capable of something called self-deception. And we will try to explore to see what and how we can benefit from God's working upon our hearts to make us people who God can use in his own vineyard, to make us people who God can bless, to make us people that are pleasing to God. So, please, can I get some water? Many times when the Bible talks about the heart, God contrasts the hearts with the outside, with the physical body, with the physical self. We see in the life of David when God asked Solomon to go and, Samuel to go and anoint David as king. First of all, Samuel went and saw the brothers of David, and God said that each of the brothers, God has rejected them from being king. There were some that Samuel saw the outside, he was fine, they were tall, they were handsome, but God said that he doesn't look at the outside, he doesn't look at the natural stature of man, he looks at the hearts. There was another time when Samuel anointed Saul before the time of David as king. The Bible says that Saul was a man who was, his physical stature was head and shoulders above every other person in town. You know, so he was like Brother Tunde in church, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. So, thank you very much. Thank you. So there was something imposing about the stature of Saul, and we contrast that to the life of David. Now, there was something imposing about the life of David, because from the Bible, we also know that David was a handsome boy. The Bible called him handsome and ruddy. He was a handsome boy. And so we contrast that God doesn't look at the outside. Now, even our Lord Jesus Christ himself, we might ask, oh, what kind of stature did he have? The Bible gives us an inkling. You know, we've never seen a picture of Jesus. But from the Bible, we see the anatomy in a way. When we open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah 53, can somebody read verse 2, please? Sorry?
He grew up before him like a tender shoot.
Right.
And like a root out of dry ground.
Okay, go on.
He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him.
He had no what?
Beauty.
He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him.
Nothing in his appearance that we would desire him.
Nothing is in his appearance that we will desire him. So, and we know that if we read the verses before, we know that the person being talked about here was a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. This was given 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene. He had no beauty or majesty that we will desire him. There was nothing striking about him. You know, if I'm going to describe somebody, you might say, oh, you know that beautiful sister, that tall brother, you know, or that short sister, or that stocky brother. You know, there's something about you or that white-haired brother. But the Lord Jesus Christ, there was nothing about him that you say was striking about him. There was nothing of human beauty that would say, oh, he's a very handsome man. You know, that has, even when Judas was going to betray him, Judas has to say, it's the man I kiss on the cheeks. That is the man we're talking about. Because there was nothing that Judas could describe as, oh, that is the man. You know, this about him, maybe he's the one that is has ears like Obama, you know. Just something to describe him by. But there was nothing about him that you could describe him by. But in the world today, we pay so much attention on the external to the detriment of what we have on the inside. And that itself has even crept within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the world today, as we age, what happens to our beauty? The Bible tells us.